me. Amen. You know, community church is a very unique gathering of God's people. You are a unique breed of people. You are unique because you have followed the beat of a drummer, which has led you to community church. And the other seven churches in our city are beautiful churches and whose pastors are great people. But the unique thing about the Catholic Church is the people there are all Catholics. And the unique thing about the Full Gospel Church is the people there are all Full Gospel people. And the unique thing about the First Baptist Church, it's made up of Baptist people. And the Great Lutheran Church, Lutheran people. The Church of Christ people. The Episcopal Church, made up of Episcopalians. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church on Pearl Street, made up of Seventh-day Adventist people who worship on Saturday. And each one of these churches, unique in themselves, because the people who are those brand-named people have gathered themselves together. Catholics, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Methodists, etc. But the unique thing about the community church is that hopefully as you walk into the doors, you shed a skin of denominationalism and you come into a community-type situation. A community-type situation, which is to say that you are seated right now next to a Christian, primarily, hopefully. But in days gone by, that person might have worn and portrayed very proudly and vigorously the banner of another denomination. If we had time, it'd be exceedingly interesting just to go up and down the pews and just say what your background used to be. And while some of you still have ties in that background to a small degree, the important thing is that we've been made up of a gathering of people who are unique and that we are community people. And we share some 18 different denominations. Therefore, with the background that we've come with, it's impossible that we all would be at the same place, nor should we even hope to be at the same place. When we speak on subjects like the one for this morning, some of you are familiar with it, others of you have never heard of it before. I speak regarding tongues are for today as well as for days gone by. What I'm saying to preface my message is that in the community type unique gathering of which we have here, we learn and we have learned in days gone by to disagree without being disagreeable. And we have come with one common denominator, the common denominator of Jesus the Christ. And he is upon that sphere of worship and influence and adoration. At the same time, while we focus our attention upon him and while we plant our feet upon him, the solid rock, and while we use him as a common denominator that love is allowed to flow through all of us, we instinctively respect the decisions of each person to believe a different way than we believe. And when we speak about speaking in tongues, there's no exception, like other subjects in days gone by. So we learn to respect somebody else who may believe something that we don't believe. But this doesn't change the way in which we feel toward that person. We love them a great deal. Now, I believe in speaking in tongues. I couldn't have said this 5 or 6 years ago, but I say it now. And I say to you that it has changed my life, it's changed my ministry. It has not made me any better than I was, but it instead, in fact, has given me new courage. It's given me a new perspective into the feelings of people, the attitudes of people, the problems, the dilemmas with which we are all faced. And so when we speak about this, I don't expect all of you to start speaking in tongues. You all could speak in tongues if you wanted to, but you probably all won't. But for those of you who want to move on in this way, you can. And those of you who don't, you won't. And the point is that you're no better if you do, you're no worse if you don't. And I love you the same either way. But since the speaker has the pulpit, he must speak as he feels and believes. and share with you what I believe. For example, just to mention one thing in passing, I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, it's no big deal, but it's what I believe. A lot of you don't believe that because you come from denominations that don't preach that. Well, you see, it has not made a difference because we still come together in this. And the gamut is wide of diversity of different little theological beliefs that some hold to themselves. But the important thing is Jesus, and the important thing is love. Because Paul said, even though I speak with all the tongues of men and have not what said, I am like a gong, tinkling cymbal. So love is most important. But I believe, as I turn to the Word of God, that what he has said for the people in an era gone by is just as adequate for our era as it will be if the Lord tarries 100 more years from now. I hear people from time to time referring to the gift of tongues when actually they are referring to praying in the Spirit. There is a great deal of difference, and I want those two points to be in focus today. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we find that the disciples were at the day of Pentecost. They were in one place, in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, it's not impossible to say that as we have come together, we have prayed, we have sung, and of the many reasons why we sing, it's to tune us all up together because we've come from different perspectives, different backgrounds, different parts of our city. We've come together, so we sing together, and it tunes us all up. Then we pray together, and we are in one accord together with open minds, hopefully, to what God has to say. They were that way too. And then suddenly, a sound from heaven. Like, it didn't say it was, but like a mighty wind. And this, whatever it was, filled the whole house where they were sitting, like you this morning. It could come and fill this sanctuary now. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They went out into the street. They spoke these tongues. And there were people in that city, being the Feast of Pentecost, from all areas of the land and country and neighboring countries. And they heard these disciples who were filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in their own language. Well, some of the people nearby said, wow, what's happening to these fanatical Christians? They've left the house and they're all speaking. They're drunk. They just got drunk. Peter stood up and said, listen, guys, you got it all wrong. How can you be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning? No, it's not true. They're drunk, all right, but they're drunk with the Spirit of God. And those people who had come from all of these neighboring countries were able to hear the word of God that Jesus saves in their own tongue. Now, here we have no language barrier. While some of you speak two or three languages, your basic language is English. I'm speaking in English. You can hear me in English. But if we wanted to preach the gospel to some Mexican Americans who spoke only Mexican, slanted dialect, we would have to switch gears from English to Spanish. And so, since we don't experience this gift of tongues, we have people who are employed by various churches to preach the good news to people in other languages. Evangelism. Missionaries are taught language and they go to a country. Well, in this setting, that we read about in Acts chapter 2, these people did not have to go to school because all of a sudden they were speaking in these various languages and people were hearing them about what Jesus can do. And many people were saved. Thousands of people were saved. Now, if you can just place what I have just said into a nice box and set it beside you for a moment, let's pick up the second aspect, which is tongue speaking for edification, tongue speaking for glorification, tongue speaking just to bless the Lord, oh my soul. In this box, we place not the gift of tongues, but we place the speaking in tongues, which is two different things. The speaking in tongues is what we have reference to in 1 Corinthians, as well as in the book of Acts, where people who have been baptized by the Holy Spirit have what is called by some a prayer language. You can speak in tongues. Now, every Christian, according to the Word of God and according to experience, every Christian can speak in tongues if they want to. You don't have to, but you can. Now, put what I just said in the box over here. So we have two boxes. We have a box that has to do with the gift of tongues, which we will read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it very clearly says in verse 14 and verse 15, chapter 12 it is, and run that back over to verse 10. Paul is listing nine spiritual gifts. These are spiritual gifts, and we talk about the gift of faith, we talk about the gift of wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, and then he says tongues, and then the interpretation of tongues. This is a gift, and the gift of tongues is used by God through people for the express purpose of saving somebody or proclaiming the gospel, like it was done in Acts chapter 2. This is this one box. It's the gift of tongues. But now the other box has to do with the speaking in tongues, which is differentiated from Acts chapter 2. And this box is a box that every one of us can open up and be blessed by. Again, it makes you know better, but it does certainly help. It helps. There is something that you can't put in understandable words that transpires when you let God give you your prayer language. Now, I believe in this, and I believe everybody here can get it if you want it, but I know what seven of you are thinking right now. I just don't want to even ask for it, nor even talk about it or think about it, because I'll be working at my place of business, and all of a sudden I'll start speaking in these strange tongues. Or I'll be at school teaching, or I'll be at the office talking, or I'll be driving my car with somebody in it, and all of a sudden I'll start speaking in tongues. My friend, this never has happened. It never happens, because you have to open your mouth. And if you don't want to open your mouth, you don't have to open your mouth. You see? Never be afraid of it, because it will be subject to you in the way you use it. Paul speaks about praying in the Spirit, something that the individual does themselves. Now, Acts was written about 65 A.D. That's roughly more than 30 years after Jesus died. Corinthians was written 56 or 59 A.D. So it was written first, as you compare Acts and 1 Corinthians. But both speak about this unique situation of speaking in tongues. And the capacity to pray in tongues is a fresh way. Hear me, it's a fresh way to stay in the power of the Spirit. It's a source of freedom, and it's a beautiful way to pray for those things about which we know so very little. Like prayer requests, pray for this or pray for that. Praying in tongues is a dynamic way of intercession. A person comes to me and says, pray for me regarding this situation. Well, it may not be God's will that the situation change at that time, but I can pray in my spirit. And in praying in my spirit, I am praying right. You can't make a mistake praying in tongues about someone. But if someone comes to my office, as they have in the past, and one guy said, I want you to pray that I'll get this job tomorrow. Well, it puts me on the spot. It may not be God's will that he get that job. I'll always do what they ask. I pray. But then I always put in that prayer. But Lord, more importantly, even like Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. But when you pray in the Spirit, you never can make a mistake. Every Christian can speak in tongues. As God chooses, on rare occasions, then an individual will speak the gift of tongues. In fact, you don't have to have permission. You've already been given permission according to the guidebook. We don't have time to go into the scriptures to be used, which we will do soon as we start a study on this. But let me just say this. I know without a shadow of a doubt that Satan wants to cool me off. He wants to cool every one of you off in your spiritual relationship. He wants to cool you off. And he does a lot of trickery along these lines. and wanting to lose our enthusiasm that we have in our faith. And so because of this, many Christians have not taken that step. You can have a prayer language. Here's why I know. If you're saved this morning, you're saved because you asked for it. John 3:16. You know that scripture. There is nobody who is saved who doesn't first of all say, Jesus, save me, according to the Bible. Okay, you had to ask for your salvation, John 3:16. You have to ask for the baptism, Luke 3:16. You know, we hear so much about John 3:16. Well, what about Luke 3:16? It speaks about asking for the baptism. You ask for the baptism, and you're going to receive it. And one of the accompanying proofs that you have received it, though not dogmatically so, is that you can speak in tongues. Let me clearly state this, and would you listen with all three of your ears, that a Christian and a non-Christian is separated by one great difference, and that is Jesus in their life. Now, the Christian knows about Jesus, but has further accepted Jesus. The lost person knows about Jesus too, but has never accepted Jesus. In the area of Christian people, there are those people who have accepted Jesus and are moving in their faith beautifully. But there are others who've said, there's got to be more to it than just coming to church and worshiping. There's got to be more to it than just as it has been in my life, praying 8 prayers a day and having 6 answered. There's got to be more than being afraid to speak up for Jesus. It's got to be more. And so that comes under the terminology of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you ask, you will receive it. It's beyond me why I waited so long to ask for it. It's really not beyond me because I was never taught about it when I was growing up. So when God gave me this experience, I promised to him that it would be part of my ministry, where the people can choose Jesus if they want to, or they can reject him if they want to. They can accept the baptism or they can reject the baptism. But at least the people will know the options, the choices that are available. A renewed dedication and love for the Lord. You ask for the baptism, you'll receive it. And if you ask for your tongues, you will receive it. But there are people who have been in my office who have not received their tongues, and yet they want it. And there are various reasons why. And there are tapes available several years ago as to reasons why some people don't receive the baptism. But let me tell you one experience of a lady who was at a service similar to this. And she heard about it. And she said, Jesus, I want to be a better person, so I want you to baptize me with your Holy Spirit. After the service, there was an opportunity given to those people to go to an adjoining room to be prayed for and to receive their tongues, as you will have at the conclusion of this service, the opportunity to go to the Christian Center for a few minutes and receive some instruction and receive your prayer language if you want to. We picked a small room because I don't expect all of you to go there. But I do expect a lot of you to say, well, there must be something to it. There must be something to it if the pastor's experienced it and believes it true. At least I'll pursue. And so we'll have some of our deacons and deaconesses in the Christian Center to meet you there for a short time for those of you who are interested. This lady went to an adjoining room, but she did not receive. She went home, and she was a little upset with God. She had prayed, but she hadn't received. And her husband was there watching the ball game, and this irritated her even worse. And so she went to the bedroom. She slammed the door. She knelt beside her bed. She said, Jesus, I have prayed, and I'll pray again. Please, you have saved me. You have baptized me, but I don't feel any difference. If it's what's true in the scripture that one of the accompanying signs of the baptism, and it's not the only one, and it's not the important one either, I must add. I said it's not the important one. If all this be true, please give me my prayer language. Give me my tongues. She knew the scripture. She knew how it first happened in the day of Pentecost when that rushing wind came through that room. So on her knees, she prayed that God would just bless her, and she said, please give me my prayer language. And she knew, because she had been told, as I tell you, you've got to open your own mouth or you'll never get it. You've got to open your mouth and begin to say something. God's not going to pry it open with the jaws of your life and make you talk. So she opened her mouth, as she had done at the church inquiry room, to no avail. And all of a sudden, the room was filled with a rushing mighty wind. And she broke forth with her prayer language. She spoke in tongues for the first time. And she just praised God in her tongues. She had it. And she thanked the Lord for the rushing mighty wind. But then she realized the rushing mighty wind was nothing more than the furnace kicking on and pushing that wind through her bedroom. But it was used by God to release her faith, because she had gotten tied up some way and she couldn't release her faith. And when she heard that sound, it was just used to click to release her faith, and she broke forth in tongues. As I conclude, let me just tell you seven reasons and seven ways how I use my prayer language, because you're probably wondering. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 speaks of ways that you can use your tongues. It says, follow after love. You're doing all that, I assume. But it then says, and desire spiritual gifts. Now, the first way that I can use my tongue is just to say, hi, God. That's in verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, that word unknown is in italics in my Bible, and that means simply that that word is not in the original language. And so they have substituted a word that will make the continuity of reading very clearly. And so when you come to an italics word in the Bible, you know what that means. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, in a tongue, speaks not unto men. Because if I chose now to speak in tongues before you, it would not be for you, but it would be for God. But unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So in my spirit I speak. The first way that I use my tongues is just to say, well, in chapter 14, verse 2, it's just a way to say, hi. It's a way to say, hello, God. The second one is in verse 4, the last two words. Edify the church. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. So when you are speaking in an unknown tongue, you are edifying yourself. I say, God, I've got a decision to make this morning. It's a decision that I don't know how to make it. I've evaluated it. I've got the stack of pro and a stack of con. How am I going to make this decision as you would have me make? And so I speak in tongues. And as I speak in tongues to God, I am edifying myself. It says so right here, chapter 14, verse 4. Number 2, it's edified. Number 3, building up the church, verse 5, that the church may receive edifying. So when we use our tongues, the third reason, the third purpose is for building up the church. The fourth purpose is in verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. It is your praying. I will pray in the Spirit. I've mentioned that. And the fifth reason, I will sing with the Spirit. With your tongues, you just can be released to sing to God. Sing with your spirit. That is the fifth reason, or the fifth way, if you're writing them down. It's in verse 15. Verse 16 is the sixth way. I will bless the Lord with my spirit. David says, hey, soul, wake up and bless the Lord. Okay, there are only so many ways of blessing God. But with our tongues, we can then praise God, bless God. This may seem strange to some of you. You may say, all my life I say, God bless me, God bless me, God bless mama, daddy, God bless brother, sister, bless aunt and uncle, bless my friends, bless this person, bless that person. That's right. But as a Christian, it says here in many places, you are to bless God. The creature blessing the Creator. The seventh way is in verse 22. Therefore, tongues can be a sign to them that believe not. These are just seven ways that many people in our church use their prayer language. First is saying hi. Secondly is to be edified. Three is to build the church. Four is to pray. Five is to sing in the Spirit. And six is to bless the Lord in the Spirit. And the seventh is as a sign. All of these can be amplified, but we'll stop to say this. It would surprise you to know the number of people in this church that who could be classified as, quote, secret disciples along this line, who have their tongue experience, that who speak in tongues to a degree or to another degree. And it really thrills me when a person calls or comes by the office and says, you know, Pastor, I've got my prayer language. I've got my prayer language. I can pray in the Spirit now. And I would say that every Sunday school teacher, every officer, every deacon, every deaconess, every church officer in our church either speaks in tongues or is sympathetic to it, believing that it is possible, or is sympathetic to the moving of God's Spirit in our congregation. And I just praise God that you can experience this in our type church situation, the community church, a unique gathering of believers, where if you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you don't. But overriding it all is L-O-V-E. Love. God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus so loved the world that he gave. Not his life only, but it says here, I will give you my Spirit. I will give you the Holy Ghost. I think it's a beautiful experience that God has given and Jesus has given. And the next part of the domino progression is my giving and your giving of yourselves to God. If you don't give, you will just be like the Dead Sea, receiving, 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 and not giving. If you don't give, there can be no life. So the scripture says, open your mouth, and I will fill it. Let's pray, may we?